This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. A series of arson fires thrust the bucolic town of Pomeroy, New Hampshire, into the national headlines. All the homes being burned belong to summer people, flatlanders, as the locals call them, igniting long simmering tensions between those who feel they own the town and those who merely use it a few months a year. Frankie Rowley is adrift from her job as an international aid worker when she returns to her family's summer home in the fictional town. There she stays with her aging parents and meets Bud, a former Washington newspaper man who's running the local paper. Together, they tangle with questions of class, belonging, and the meaning of home. The Arsonist is the latest novel from Sue Miller, author of several best-selling books, including When I Was Gone and The Senator's Wife. And Sue Miller is with us from WBUR in Boston. Sue, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm very happy to be here.
Sue, Frankie was an aid worker based in East Africa for 15 years. So she makes her way home to Pomeroy, New Hampshire. This is the place her family's been summering since she could remember. What is she looking for?
Well, rest, for one thing. But I think she's hoping to find a way to make some decisions about her life. She's come back not clear whether she's going to return to Africa or whether she's going to stay in the States. But she's leaning towards staying in the States somehow, but isn't quite sure what she can do other than what she's been doing for so many years of her life. So this place, Pomeroy, has always sort of represented a kind of more home to her than any other place in the States. Her family was sort of, they traveled around a lot. Her father was an academic and had trouble getting tenure, so they were always moving. So this place is very special to her. She sees it as a place to rest, to rest up, to make some decisions, to be not to have demands put on her in some sense or another, a place where she can sort of recover in some sense.
The first night she's there, however, she can't rest, or does for a while. She has jet lag, wakes up in the middle of the night, goes out for a walk, and gets frightened off the road quickly when a car speeds by that could well be the arsonist's getaway car. This puts her right into the mystery and this tenuous relationship between the locals and the summer people that gets raised by these arsons. Talk to us a little bit about that relationship and how these the roles that the townies or the locals and the summer people kind of function for each other or have.
Well, I think in the past they function by, you know, ignoring whatever the issues and the tensions are between them, though they're present, and people sort of overhear things said. And at one point in town, Sylvia, Frankie's mother, sees a kid wearing a T-shirt that says, "Flatlanders, go home." So there's that kind of sense that underneath all of the kind of courtesy that their lives together requires, there is this feeling of resentment. And as soon as the fires begin, the resentment begins to cut both ways. I mean, the summer people are upset that the town isn't somehow protecting them better. And they don't want their summer idyll, as it were, interrupted. They're going to have to start locking their doors. They're going to have to start shutting all their windows at night. So it cuts both ways. That sort of long-standing, occasional resentment of the year-round folks for these people who sort of descend on them annually, but whose income they need. I mean, they need the income that they get from them. It's sort of symbiotic in that sense. And then the sort of momentary resentment of the summer people towards the townspeople who've somehow let this thing happen, this arsonist.
Where does Frankie's family fit into this hierarchy, or where does Frankie think her family does?
Well, they're complicated because they were sort of original founders of the town. And for a long time, her ancestors lived there full time. And then several generations back, they began to just use it in the summer. So I think she feels pretty clearly that she is a summer person. Her mother, Sylvia, probably feels a little bit differently because her grandmother really lived there a lot of the time. And then Sylvia actually spent a full year there and came to have relationships of a different sort with people during that time.
Frankie meets Bud. Now, this is a man who has chosen to settle in Pomeroy. Unlike Frankie, you know, one foot in, one foot out in a way. He used to be a political reporter, I think Washington Bureau for the Denver Post or some other newspaper. Right. What was Bud seeking there in Pomeroy, New Hampshire?
Well, I think he felt tired of what political reporting consisted of. This all takes place in the Clinton era and the year when Clinton was president. And I think he's just tired of sort of the cliches of political life, as we all know about them, actually, and has a sense of also of not being at home. And there's sort of no home for him in Washington. It's so that he wants to go to a – he's grown up in a small town, actually, in Colorado. And he decides he wants to go and live in a place and be of a place where he will know everybody, where he will have an active role in the community. There's an article he reads about small-town papers and how they're doing, and he picks out one that he's interested in and goes and visits this town, Pomeroy, which is a very beautiful town in the White Mountains, and decides this is it and buys the paper.
And, of course, he's run into, you know, the story of a lifetime, these arson fires. Yeah. So there's this kind of guilt about the opportunism of the work.
Right. He's actually very excited at the notion, after there have been several fires, it's sort of clear that these were not sort of accidental fires in some way. And he's excited by the notion that this is arson. This is really something exciting to write about. And then he is also feels like a jerk for feeling that way, of course.
What happens when the friction between modest folks who live in a town year-round and the chatty, self-assured summer people who come there for their leisure gets ratcheted up? This is one of the storylines of a new novel called The Arsonist by Sue Miller. I'm speaking with Sue Miller about it. It's interesting, Sue, setting these big world questions in such a small place, you know, this idyllic place, the threat of terrorism, for example, that seems so far away from the bombings and the embassies in Kenya and Tanzania that happened that very summer, where the mm-hmm. book is set, all before 9/11, when this mm-hmm. threat of terrorism felt so far away. Why did you choose to place it there in that summer?
Well, partly because of what was going on in the States at that time, which sort of comes up only a few times, but the discussion was largely about Monica Lewinsky mm-hmm. and Bill Clinton.
We all remember.
And we do. And I actually once did a reading on the night that Monica Lewinsky was being interviewed by Barbara Walters.
Did anyone show up?
No. I mean, there were perhaps three of us. But Frankie is dismayed by the sort of lack of, you know, coverage of anything international or African even. So there was that to sort of look at and hold up and another sort of contrast between the life she's been leading and the life she would come into if she stayed in the States. Mm. So that was part of it, certainly.
There were a lot of different tensions percolating that very summer, as you were just talking about. But you're really taking on class in some way in America, and even hinting at a distance between classes is considered to be, provocation in many corners. It's kind of a daring thing to take on. Did you feel that way when you were doing it?
I didn't feel it was particularly daring, but I did feel as though to me it seems something that's really not – people are not comfortable with. I think people maybe will get more comfortable with it because it's such a glaring economic divide at this point in our national life that I think it's bound to be discussed more and more. But I think, you know, when Obama speaks of it, he's accused of, you know, inciting class warfare. Mm-hmm. We should just let this thing sit. We shouldn't be talking about it. It seemed to me this was sort of a very interesting context for it because it is a situation in which people have to make nice with each other. They rely on each other. It goes both ways. And yet there are some bitter feelings, certainly. So it seemed to me the kind of perfect example of it. I mean, in a big city, you know, we live we live separated into sort of economic ghettos in some sense or another. But in a small town, everyone, you know, the houses look different, one from another, perhaps. But everyone really has to, you know, shops at the same store, says hello each day. All that sort of intimacy that happens between classes, among classes in a small town seemed to me to sort of make it, to be emblematic in a way of what goes on nationally but doesn't get discussed.
So well put there. But I do have to ask you, I mean, once, Sue, you've made a book that's been made into a film, as two of yours have been, mm-hmm. thinking Inventing the Abbots and the Good Mother. Can you help when you're writing the book from kind of imagining the casting in a film?
I absolutely don't. They seem so much themselves to me. In fact, you know, I've never seen the movies because I saw a trailer for it. We used to call them previews. Mm-hmm. And just realized if I saw the film, I would be forever thinking of the book in terms of the, you know, of the actors playing the parts. And I wanted to keep my own notion of the characters in my head.
Well, that's amazing. You didn't see the film adaptations.
No, I haven't. I actually did in the end see Inventing the Abbots because a friend was sort of running a series of books into film, and she asked me to do that. So I watched it so I could talk with people who were participating in the series about the way I saw it differently from the way it had been made.
Well, it's such a pleasure speaking with you, and another great novel from Sue Miller. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The Arsonist is the latest from Sue Miller. She's author of several other best-selling books. You can find much more on the book at wordofmouthradio.org.